It's me, Sean Watiki, Tommy Paulie along the way as well. We just heard a little bit from Mike Brown in his introductory press conference as the head coach of the New York Knicks. We're going to hear another clip from Mike Brown in a second. I just want to alert. We're going to get more into this in a second. Starlin Marte is going on the injured list for the Mets. That is the move being made to call Jesse Winker back up from his IL stint. So more on that and what that means, as Marte was really getting cooking as a leadoff hitter there for the Mets in a little bit, but we'll dive into plenty of baseball. But for now, more Knicks reaction, 888-808-1019. Mike Brown, what we did not hear yet, which we'll hear now, he was basically asked about working alongside Leon Rose and what maybe the future of Mike Brown's bench as far as assistant coaches look like. Let's hear what he had to say.
I want to be collaborative. I want to form that partnership with Leon again. I'm excited to do that with him. And so he and I, we just started, you know, sitting down and talking about different ways to formulate a staff. So that's going to be a process that's ongoing, and who knows how long it will take. But those are a couple of things that you really start to dive into, as well as trying to figure out the landscape.
Altiki, you're making the smirk. I'll let you go with this
right, one. It sounds like he's what we were just talking about. Maybe it will be a slow, but not so slow.
Yeah.
Exit. I mean, it's interesting.
Look, that screams, we have had conversations about Rick Brunson, and we're going to continue to have conversations about Rick Brunson, but I'm the head coach of this basketball team, and this is not going to be the same as it was last year.
Which is what I said. It's his team now. He's the head coach. It will ultimately fall on him, the success or failure of this team / organization. And so he should be making that decision. And even if it sucks and if it's awkward and if it's whatever, I think Jalen Brunson is big enough of a professional to realize the business of the game if his dad is no longer in a high priority position.
Exactly.
Or at all with the organization.
And when you hear him, this is scared and panicked is not the right word, but you could tell in his voice, Mike Brown wanted to be very careful about, I'm going to work in collaboration. I want to be collaborative,
right.
But collaborative works both ways because Leon Rose has to understand that that's the head coach of the basketball team you just hired too. And not to tie this into other teams in town, but we scream and yell about this with the baseball team, specifically the Yankees, right? Which is the manager of the Yankees basically doing everything the front office wants him to do,
right,
or is it working both ways? Because Mike Brown shouldn't be hired here just pulling the puppet strings of whatever Leon Rose wants to do.
I agree. He should be doing what he thinks is going to make his team or give his team the best chance to win.
Exactly.
And if that's moving on from a coach or bringing in somebody else to do that job of that former coach, then that is his prerogative. And if he's neutered in any way from doing that, then the failure of the team can't be on him.
Absolutely. And I'll go one step further because I don't think he's going to be neutered here. Maybe I'm being naive because I have that much more respect for Jalen Brunson as a leader of this team and a player that I don't think Jalen Brunson is going to let that get in the way, despite the fact that it is his father and what Mike Brown wants to do.
Right.
But if it ever got to that point that your star players started screaming and yelling and Jalen Brunson turned into everything we think he's not, well, then you know what? Then that wasn't meant to be either. I don't think Jalen Brunson is going to be that way. I think he's too stand up a guy, and I think he would understand as well, even with that being his dad. But very interesting to keep an eye on what Mike Brown does with this staff, and he kept using that word collaboration. So we'll get your thoughts on the Mike Brown hire and everything you heard at 888-808-1019. And as I just said, the other news breaking throughout that Mike Brown press conference was the fact that the Mets are now putting Starlin Marte with a knee contusion. I think he had fouled a ball off the knee. He was still ripping hits left and right,
right,
off the Yankees all weekend long as the Mets get set for a 3-game set in Baltimore. Earlier game two, Tiki, 6:40. So if you're looking for us on TV, we'll be on TV at 3:30 today on SNY. As well. Anything else I took from that? Again, very carefully worded. Of course, we didn't hear from Leon Rose. The MSG Network's coverage cut away, so we weren't going to get that. This was all about hearing from Mike Brown and what Mike Brown had to say. But overall, I think that the response from Knicks fans will be mostly positive. I don't know how you walk away.
Right. He's a coach of the year winner, as you mentioned earlier. He's a good coach. He seems like a great dude.
Right.
It seems like he has his head on right. He can speak the right message to this audience and this media room. And so as far as day one, press conference, give it a check.
So let's get the puff of smoke from the positive Tommy Vadigan here after he's heard Mike Brown. Positive Tommy?
I'm always one for good pandering. And I thought Mike Brown did an A-plus pandering job right out of the gate. Okay. Talking about the Mecca, talking about Madison Square Garden.
Good point.
Talking about Knick fans. Because I think there's this perception that, oh, here comes Mike Brown from Cleveland and Sacramento. All right, fine, L.A., but what does he know about New York? I thought that was a good way of offering that olive branch right out of the gate to Knick fans and this city. So I thought he did a brilliant job there with the pandering, A-plus for pandering. As far as the other stuff, I thought it was good. I thought it was like an A-minus press conference. You walk away from it going, all right, I feel confident about the offense. He mentioned something about Jalen Brunson. Let me get the exact quote. To have a guy like Jalen out there gives you the versatility to play in different ways. I'm kind of interested to see what that is because I like to see Brunson play off the ball. I think sometimes when he's a little bit too ball dominant, it'd be interesting to develop a point guard, whether it's Tyler Kolek, and there's situations where you could have Brunson off ball.
Right.
So it doesn't feel like it's always in his hands.
Or Deuce.
Right. And you could just have a little bit of more exciting and different ways to attack other defenses.
Right, because last year it felt, and really last couple of years, it's felt like, all right, we know what's coming. We know exactly what's coming. We as fans know what's coming.
Right.
So the opponent, the opposing coach and defensive setup obviously knows what's coming. And so it makes him have to work that much harder because you're playing right into what the defense wants and expecting you to do. And so if he's off ball, I think it gives him a better, because he's also a great spot-up shooter. We just never really get a chance to see him do it.
No, we do not. But Mike Brown's offense, maybe it does change up. Now, one more thing I did want to pick up on. The fit. Ben McAdoo got criticized for the oversized suit. Mike Brown, very clean jacket look.
I didn't see it.
No tie.
No tie.
Couple buttons unbuttoned. The loose like era of press conference. I'm going to show you. Let's get Tiki to judge the Mike Brown fit. Hold on, let me mute this.
All right.
What do you think?
All right, that's all right. That's casual cool.
Casual cool. And casual right. cool works
but
at a press conference?
It's business casual cool.
So ties are out now.
Nobody wears ties anymore.
I mean,
that's
I have crazy.
Them. I wear them when I was calling games. But other than that, I never wear a tie.
That is crazy to me. I thought press conference was still tie central.
Still,
I guess
it's
not.
Still a dark suit. Dark suit, white shirt. So it's not like busy undershirt. It's like white shirt, crisp, clean.
Here's what I like.
Nice and easy.
If we're going to go no tie and you're going, if we're legally allowed now for not to have those top couple buttons unbuttoned, great for fat guy necks. And I get behind that big time. So now if I'm at a wedding, I'm doing the Mike Brown.
All right.
I'm fine. All right. Andrea, Staten Island, gets the first word on the Mike Brown hire here. 888-808-1019. What's up, Andrea?
Hey, guys. Great show so far.
Thank you.
Appreciate
what's up?
So a light bulb went in my head once you make that comment about Tiki smirking. I'm kind of a fat guy. So we know there was some turbulence with the Mavs and Jalen Brunson's family during the contract talks. Mark Cuban, Jalen Brunson had a podcast. They confirmed it. They went back and forth.
All right.
So at the end of the day, my whole point is, and I want your take on it, is, do you think this was an easy way of Leon Rose saying, hey, it's not my call. I'm not firing your father. This is my, Woodson's call now. I think it was probably Dolan that made the decision saying, hey, we got to get rid of this family matter here. And I just want to see your take on just if it was a bigger picture, try to get Rick Brunson out Mike in this picture.
It's clearly a topic that has been discussed. You could hear it when Mike Brown was asked that question. We just played his answer from his press conference that he had just a little bit ago. And we know that Rick Brunson is obviously valuable to his son.
Right.
But bristled, I guess, is the tamest word I'll use. I'm not going to use anything more, I don't know, loud or explosive regarding his relationship with the other players, but it bristled a little bit at times. And so if I was James Dolan, and I'm not saying he did this, that's what I would do it that way. I would hire a coach and then let it be his decision to either hang on, demote, or fire Rick Brunson. And so I don't think it's going to be a fire situation. I think this is delicate because this feels like a saving face type situation,
right,
where you don't want to embarrass the father of your best player, but it also might be the right thing to move on from him.
Yeah, and look, I think anytime you could have some kind of clean slate where you don't want any remnants, if you're a new head coach, of anything that could linger or any undercutting, the last thing you need to do is fail undercut what you're trying to implement in any way.
Don't think he would do that.
I don't either.
But think about this. How often over the last 2.5 years have we been talking about Rick Brunson? Right? It's just, you don't talk about assistant coaches.
You don't.
But we have in this situation. And I'm not saying he's bad or good or anything. I'm just saying it becomes more of a talking point than sometimes the head coach.
Well, and assistant coaches being retained by new head coaches is nothing new in NBA, NFL, not. Anything. The only reason this is a story is because, of course, it's the star player's son. So just on a very surface level, you can't use the words undercutting like I was just about to when you think about it, because if his last name wasn't Brunson, would we say anything? Or would we say, you know what? Mike Brown evaluated the staff and thought he was a good assistant coach. But anytime you bring family members into it, it just makes everything that much more dicey. So just, you know, something interesting to keep an eye on. But he did say it could take some time as he goes through working with his collaboration. And boy, do the Knicks like taking all that time. They went through their signings. They took all that month to hire Mike Brown.
I wonder if they have a relationship or not.
A past relationship?
I don't know professionally if they do.
Well, Rick would have been in Chicago, right, with Jalen growing up, and there was no crossover with Mike Brown at any point.
Right, so I don't think that there was a relationship that we can point back to.
Because remember, Jalen had a relationship, he said, when he was younger with Tom Thibodeau.
Right.
Being in that area, so I don't think so either. I mean, it's the basketball world, so who knows, you know, when they cross over or anything like that. But ultimately is this, I think the social media reaction has been, I think, somewhat positive. People seem to think he's owning the press conference. There is one Knicks fan that works here that I saw already thinks this is a bad hire. Do we want to guess who? In our, by the way, it is almost 3:30. This would be our version of Posted and Toasted. Not BT.
Who?
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Sure.
One Mr. Salvatore Giuseppe Licata.
Sal Licata, all of 3 minutes into the press conference, tweeted this. Okay. Mike Brown ain't it.
What?
Come on, Sal.
No biggie.
Come on, Sal. Hey,
did he give a reason or just a flat, listen to me tomorrow and I'll tell you why?
Is Sal still here?
He might. Let me go take a look.
Go take a look. If Sal's still here, I actually am genuinely curious if he's willing to pop on for a couple minutes and tell me why he thinks Mike Brown ain't it. Because that feels
based
like...
Based off an 18-minute press conference?
18 minutes? It was 3 minutes in! 3 minutes in, and we talked about the history of bad press conferences in this town where you knew. I don't know how you walk away from that. Again, I understand if you walk away from that not feeling necessarily excited.
No, you definitely weren't excited, but I don't think he was trying to be.
No, exactly.
I think he was trying to be deliberate.
That's crazy to me. Mike Brown ain't it.
That is a little bit crazy.
That is Sal Licata for you. So Tommy's efforting Sal Licata. Now, if I do transition real quickly, Starlin Marte, the Mets do announce, is going on the injured list. Knee contusion is what they're going with. This means Ronnie Mauricio is staying put. There was some thought that he would go down when Jesse Winker returned. But, of course, now it's going to be Marte. It's retroactive to July 7th. It's a right knee bruise. Tylor McGill has been transferred to the 60-day IL. That's kind of irrelevant.
Right.
The Mets are also calling up this kid who has a high strikeout rate, throwing 100 miles an hour. Alex Carrillo, I think is how it's pronounced, or it's Carrillo. Either way, he seems to be somebody who is going to try to be a factor in this bullpen. And Zach Pop, who gave up the homer to Aaron Judge, has been designated for assignment. Very interesting.
Thanks for your service. See ya.
Exactly. What the Mets do with their lineup, I don't think today's lineup is out yet. But the idea of losing Marte now, does Nimmo just become the leadoff hitter? I don't think you go back to hitting Lindor leadoff now based on an injury.
I think you leave Lindor 2 and Soto 3 and Pete Alonso 4. But it's now that platoon, based on the pitching matchup, isn't necessarily there anymore. So you probably, I'm trying to think who else would fill that role.
You're not going to hit Winker when he plays
leadoff. He doesn't profile as a leadoff hitter. So I would guess, this is what Evan suggested when it first happened, when Nimmo got moved up in front of Lindor to lead off a week or so ago, that he would just do it. And now, obviously, with Starling Marte, there isn't a natural platoon. Just leave Brandon Nimmo there. It makes sense. Now, his numbers against lefties is significantly down from what it previously was in previous seasons, but it also might be just a lack of opportunities in doing it. So,
yeah. But I wonder, though, if Lindor's stance on not wanting to be moved back and forth could change based on the fact that Marte's landing on the IL.
I doubt it. I think Francisco Lindor wants a move to be made, and then he wants that move to be stuck. I don't think that he's going to say, oh, well, we lost Marte, so now I want to fill that role. Because it's actually making him play two roles now.
It is just, though, crushing news when you consider that. It's not crushing, but Marte, yeah. The fact that he was heating up and he was fitting in nicely in that leadoff role, to lose him to an IL stint. But you know what? Like we said, new life here for Ronnie Mauricio, who we saw him pinch hit for Vientos. If he continues to get his opportunities now, not being sent down and playing a little bit, he could continue to push Mark Vientos, which was another discussion we had yesterday as well. And I wonder if Mauricio continues to take bats away here from Vientos as we close in the All-Star break. We do have, again, an early start versus the Baltimore Orioles. Tommy, now positive Tommy Medfan angle on. Any thoughts on Marte and losing him out of the leadoff hole right now? Just cook Nimmo both ways here? Doesn't matter the pitching matchup?
Yeah, I mean, as far as Marte goes, it's definitely a bummer because he was really starting to come around, especially at the top of the order here. But you are getting Jesse Winker back, who gives you a lot of personality, let's just say, when he's
well,
out
it's
there.
It's a bat you need.
Yeah.
Whatever,
I don't want to say you're trading one for the other, but you essentially
no,
are.
Right. You don't want to like consider him a replacement because I don't think he's not the fielder, obviously, that Marte is. But you needed the bat.
You needed the bat.
And so at the end of the day, that's more important than who's hitting leadoff for you.
And, oh, by the way, the Salicata update, I look for him, not here.
Hiding.
No, my assumption is he's going early to SNY because remember.
All right.
Oh,
the game
point.
Is earlier tonight because they're in Baltimore. We'll be on TV here in just a few minutes. My assumption, I'll speak for him a little bit, is that he wasn't thrilled with the Mike Brown hiring to begin with. And from what he heard today, it didn't do anything to change his opinion and stance. Meaning
Three minutes into a press conference, though?
I think he wanted to be wowed. I think he wanted to hear something that made him go, all right, perhaps I was wrong about the hiring. And he obviously, I'm just going to go off of what I think, based on his pre-notions going into it, is that, yeah, he didn't hear anything that he made him change his mind.
The only other thing from the Mike Brown press conference I think I wanted to hear that I didn't necessarily get, and correct me if I'm wrong, because we only heard part of it, and I haven't seen anything pop on social media, nothing specifically related to Karl Anthony Towns or even Mitchell Robinson and the use of both of them on the floor at the same time. Do we know if that question got asked at all, Paulie or Tommy?
I don't believe that question was asked. I know there was some stuff asked about Cat, but I don't think anything specifically about whether or not he'd be, you know, a Mitchell Robinson Cat in the starting lineup. They did get asked, or Mike Brown did get asked about the starting lineup itself, and he answered that. But I don't think anything necessarily specifically towards Mitch and Cat.
I used to be a vacuum, which I think is how I accelerated my fatness very quick. I have learned now to enjoy the food.
Or maybe you ate too much.
I don't think it's the pace in which you eat. I think it's the volume of what you eat.
Well, volume, pace, this is the kind of offense Mike Brown wants to run here, and I used to run it into my mouth. Big time. I don't know why I just said that.
And who are you fooling with the power bar? Relax over there.
What do you mean? I'm all about physique. No. It's not a Snickers. It was a barbell.
It was chocolate dipped in more chocolate. It was not a power bar.
Listen, I am all about physique now. I've changed my mindset here.
What physique are you going for? A bowling pin?
Honestly, I'll sign for bowling pin. I will sign for bowling pin. Speaking of bowling pins, the Yankees continue to get knocked down, but they didn't lose last night because they didn't play. That's a good segue. They will get set, of course, for a three-game series tonight. Will Warren, Logan Gilbert in the Bronx. I guess I'm going to say weather pending, too. There's some severe storms in the area tonight. But Yankees, Mariners, and today on Talkin' Yanks, where Aaron Boone makes a weekly appearance with our guys John Boy and Jake, Aaron Boone announced something that should have been announced weeks ago. And I think it's very worth discussing why this decision now, why the pressure to do this now. But let's hear the big revelation that Aaron Boone made.
Fans and myself and Jake are looking at the switch to moving Jazz to third.
He's playing second tonight.
Yes.
Okay.
And is that going to be where he plays? Because you said you didn't want to move him back and forth. So is this a change to get him back at second?
Yeah, I think so. And we'll continue to work through it again, depending on all the moving parts and things that could possibly happen. But I think right now I want to move him back over there.
What does that mean for third base? Does that mean DJ and Peraza are going there?
Peraza's going to play there tonight, and it'll just be fluid, and we'll see how it unfolds a little bit.
All right. Before we give Aaron Boone an absolute standing ovation, let's just again go through a timeline of events here.
Well, it goes back to what you said yesterday. This is what fans have been saying for a couple of weeks now.
Exactly. It's so interesting, Tiki, that you say that because...
Don't you hate being right?
Yes. And how it... What I hate about this is, again, we should be fans and we should, you know... It feels good to be right, but you really shouldn't know more than the team knows.
Well, you shouldn't be aware of it.
Right.
I think, well, you shouldn't be more aware of the issue than the team is. Now, the team had to know that Jazz was, I don't want to say struggling, but not 100% comfortable playing third base.
While playing with a sore shoulder that they knew about.
And again, it's not like he plays with apathy. Jazz is just not that type of player. He plays with a high level of energy. He's trying. He knows he's a great athlete, and he's going to try to make the play the way that he best knows how to make a play. But without the experience of having done it for however many years he's been playing base, you just can't pick up third base. It's just
right.
It's hard, right? This is why that it's called a hot corner, because the balls come at you fast,
right,
over there, and you have to make quick decisions, especially when they're short of the base, and you got to throw it off kilter and sideways. Like, unless you've practiced that arm angle, you can't make that throw as easily as you can from second base. And so Jazz is an all-star second baseman. He should have been playing second base, and now he's finally there, and it feels like, all right, great, thanks.
Right,
we've been telling you this for a month now.
Step one to fixing a problem is acknowledging you have a problem.
Yeah.
So of all the Yankee problems led by Aaron Boone and whoever he works in conjunction with, Brian Cashman and staff, they've acknowledged one problem here. Here's what I hated about it. Aaron Boone couldn't wait to jump with those guys and go, he's playing second tonight.
Yes.
And that's where he's going to be. It was like he was so excited to get it out. Now, maybe that's Aaron Boone wanted to do this and he was being told by others. He could, I don't know. We'll never know right. that. But Jazz Chisholm had been playing with a bad throwing shoulder, and what I don't like about it is whatever it was a week and a half ago, when this really started to finally get asked, as fans were ground swelling and the reporters started to ask, Aaron Boone's answer was they didn't want to move these guys back and forth. Meanwhile, Peraza had not been playing much. It had been DJ at second.
Yeah.
So when you play Peraza at second, you're playing two guys basically out of position.
Yes.
Peraza, while he could play second, is a left side infielder, third and short. Jazz is a second baseman. Now they have finally flip-flopped the two to give them their best defensive infield, ultimately. The other worry I have, Tiki, is perception. I wonder if the Yankees were surprised that the league elected Jazz Chisholm Jr. to the All-Star game. Hear me out.
Huh, this is interesting.
This comes out. I thought a lot
right,
about this.
Because he wasn't voted in.
He was
as
not
a starter.
Was not voted as a starter. Nor was he voted in by his peers as a player. There are four roster spots that get determined by the league and the league office to round out the roster. That is where Jazz Chisholm Jr. got elected to the All-Star team as a second baseman.
So who makes that? Who is that? Like, do we know who that is?
I don't. And like, it could be executives voting on this right. or whatever. But Aaron Boone is the manager of the American League All-Stars.
But he has no input on those.
No.
Those league suggestions. Those league appointments.
Appointments. So now suddenly today, Aaron Boone wakes up and goes, Jazz is playing second base today. After Jazz 6 days ago tells the Athletic.
What are you saying? It's a conspiracy?
Well, I'm saying I think the All-Star game put pressure on the Yankees to finally do the right thing. Because what would we have all said if Jazz, with this bad shoulder that we know about, Jazz, who 6 days ago told the Athletic and Chris Kirschner, hey, I'm a second baseman. That's what they told me to do, but I'm playing third. He came out and
I'm
said
doing
it.
Whatever they need me to do. Right, but I'm a second baseman.
But we knew all of this, and now we get to the All-Star game in Atlanta where the manager of the American League All-Stars, because you have a bunch of third basemen and Jazz is the backup second baseman, has to take Jazz and play him at his natural position at second base before he's done it again for the Yankees. What would we have said? What would the fan base have said? There would have been controversy to come out of the All-Star game.
So I got you now. So you're saying if Jazz was selected as a second baseman by the league and then played third base in the week leading up to the All-Star game.
And then Aaron Boone had to play him at second base.
And now he goes back and plays second base in the All-Star game.
Aaron Boone just got done telling us.
He looks foolish.
He just told us a week ago he didn't want to move guys back and forth. And the league elected Jazz to play second base in the All-Star game on a team managed by Aaron Boone. He had to make this call because the Yankees would have looked like idiots on the national stage with the manager doing this. So that is why I'm not patting the Yankees on the back or Aaron Boone on the back today.
I mean, you have to because he actually did make the change.
He did.
He is going to play second base. It makes him better defensively, up the middle, and Jazz feels more comfortable. At the end of the day, that's half the battle.
It is.
Feeling comfortable doing what you're doing. Feeling strong, as they said, try to say in the strengths movement. Do you feel strong doing what you're doing? Yes, I do. Do you feel strong playing third base? Not really. Make them feel strong. It'll make them a better player, and it makes your team better defensively.
Definitely. So now they will have their best defensive team out there. Again, I hope that they continue to acknowledge the issues surrounding this team. There are two other ramifications of this move from the New York Yankees. Number one, I think the Yankees have put themselves in a spot where not only do they have to try, they have to come away with the trade deadline with a third baseman on this team.
Yeah.
Because as much as we're going to credit Peraza's defense, you cannot have a left side of the infield with both Peraza and Volpe struggling like that offensively as the long haul. Now, they did make an addition.
What, 150, 210?
Right.
Whatever it is they're hitting right now.
And they picked up Candelario off the scrap heap after he was waived, but that's another guy who can't hit a lick. So I hope that's not the answer. I hope that that's not Boone thinking he's got the next Gio Urshela. They now, where you take away the Jet. At least if Jazz was playing third, which I didn't want him to, you could make the case, well, what if they trade for a second baseman and they do whatever? By switching Jazz back and saying that's where he's going to be, you put the ball in the court. Cashman's got to get a third baseman here. And furthermore, when he does get a third baseman, is it finally time to DFA DJ LeMahieu? Because you just basically ended DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
The only time he's going to play, he's not playing third because his arm shot statue.
I mean, the challenge with DFAing him is that of those guys that we're talking about right now, obviously Oswald Peraza, and then Cabrera's obviously hurt. He's not available. But then even Volpe, DJ's got he's hitting the best out of all these guys.
By default, yes.
Well, I mean, he's 260. And so he's not unplayable offensively. He's unplayable defensively at times, at least at second. Now, we haven't seen him at third, in a couple of years.
But I think that's by design. The reason he hadn't been at third.
Of course. It's why Cabrera became such an interesting utility player for them a couple of years ago, because they couldn't play DJ at third. So where is DJ playing if he's not playing at second?
Yeah, he can't.
He can't. Even though he's a better hitter than both those guys we're talking about.
And you already have Giancarlo Stanton on this team. This team cannot employ two guys off the bench.
Right. This is what happens when you let yourself get old without having a plan for replacement in place.
Absolutely.
And that's where they're stuck right now.
Absolutely. So my prediction ultimately is that maybe it's after the deadline, maybe it's after the All-Star break. I think DJ LeMahieu's days are numbered because other than a day off for Jazz when he's not playing second, I don't know where DJ LeMahieu fits. Mm-hmm. And to me, as much as you want a strong bench, I don't know how he fits on the bench. If, again, it's just another guy that basically can't run, can't play the field, it hurts your roster flexibility. So, look, the Yankees got there. They're doing the right thing. It took them 3 weeks basically to realize how horrible an evaluation they were making of their infield. But Jazz Chisholm Jr., maybe it's by the grace of God and making an all-star team. He is now the second baseman, and we look forward to that tonight versus the Seattle Mariners. Let's get to your calls at 888-808-1019. Ralph in Manhattan. Ralph, what's up?
Well, here's what happened, guys. Sean Tiki, Boone, out of sheer embarrassment, just because the All-Star game is on the horizon, Boone actually fakes it and tries to make it his own. And maybe he got a green light from upstairs. Maybe somebody says, okay, Booney. He likes these nicknames. I'll call him Booney. You know, hey Booney, you can make that move now, especially that the All-Star game is looming, and you're going to look like a fool, and we're going to look like a fool as an organization if you don't make that move right now. I think it's very simple what went down, and you know, third base woes have been the Yankees' bugaboo for years on end. When will you get a guy who's actually a real third baseman and stick him over there for about 10 years? I doubt if it'll ever happen.
Well, I mean, they hoped it would be one of these younger prospects, Peraza or even Cabrera.
Lombard.
But Lombard's still, a year away. Who knows how long he's going
to... And he might have to play short if Volpe's a complete boss.
Yeah, but again, you're throwing a young player in there. But I think what this last caller was talking about is... Yeah, you've spent resources. It's not like you haven't spent money over there, right? When you right. when you and you, when you bring in the Josh Donaldsons of the world, you're spending money. Even though I think that was a trade, wasn't it?
Yes,
I think that was a trade. But whatever, you spend an asset to go get a player to play third base, but you're not spending it prudently. Now maybe it's just what was available, but at some point you got to commit to it, because the more holes that you have, and then they start compounding on top of each other, like it seems like they always do for the Yankees. Then you're stuck. Like, all right, now we got whack-a-mole. Which one do we hit?
Right.
Which damn break do we try to plug first? And it's not a good way to win in Major League Baseball. There's too many other good teams that don't have those type of issues.
And Brian Cashman did this a couple of years ago with left field, where he kind of left it up to chance going into the season. And then we said the entire
Hicks,
3 months.
Aaron Hicks was out there.
Yep, exactly. You don't have a left fielder. You don't have a left fielder. We'll worry about it at the deadline. We're about the deadline. And then guess what? You didn't have enough sellers of outfielders at the deadline, and you couldn't solve the problem. The Yankees have played now this game a second time in recent memory, only this time with the third base position, which we all knew when they let Glaber walk and put Jazz at second to start the year. Cabrera did a really good job. You couldn't foresee that injury. But let's be honest, as much and great a job as Wilder Cabrera was doing, and he was earning more playing time, he still should be your 10th guy, your super utility guy.
Right.
You left yourself that thin. So while we talk about the pipe dreams of Suarez from Arizona, if that kind of bat doesn't get moved, you're going to be left empty-handed. And now by doing this, which they should be doing, they have really forced themselves in and lost leverage with some of these teams in acquiring a third baseman. And maybe the Cleveland Guardians do sell and you find a way to take on the Ramirez deal or something. That would be awesome.
Right.
But, man, they better figure out something. 888-808-1019. Gary in Monroe. Gary, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
All's good.
You know, you guys hit it right on the head. Let me tell you something. I've been complaining about Boone for the longest. The way he has everybody out of position. He has Rice at first. He's the catcher. He put Chaz at third as a third baseman. Let me tell you something. You can put LeMahieu, you can put Peraza, and you can put Volpe and switch them off in that little corner over there. Now, let me tell you something. The other day, they played the Mets, right?
Yep.
Why were there three best left-hand hitters on the bench against the righty pitcher? Why was Dominguez on the bench? Why was Rice on the bench? Like Boone is playing to lose. He's not a winner.
I don't think it's to lose, Gary, but I do think it is a pre-prescribed plan.
That's it.
And there's no feel to it. There's no, well, we don't know who the Mets are throwing out there. Oh, they got righties. Okay, but our plan says we got to play whatever, Giancarlo Stanton or whoever it may be.
You want proof of that? He went on John Boy's Talking Yanks today, and he told you Jazz is playing second tonight, and he's going to play so going forward. What do you think happened yesterday and the day off to start the fresh week? The lineups for the next 6 days were made yesterday or this morning.
Right.
They're done. And that is where the Yankees' problem continues to lie. Whatever day or days Jason Dominguez is sitting this week have been determined this morning or yesterday.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter if a guy has two home runs the night before, they will sit the next day because they predetermine these plans and leave no room for guttural instinct. And I use the word guttural there. How about that?
Speaking of gut, is this like making bagels the night before? Like you're not making them as you go? So they're not that fresh? You know what I mean?
You want the fresh. Yeah.
So you're saying they make their bagels on Sunday night and they're selling them to you on a Friday. And
Correct.
They're a little stale. Right. I don't like this bagel. Well, we made it on Sunday.
Yeah, cool. The idea is stale. Maybe in real time, it was the right idea. But once you gather more information, you got to change your idea. Right?
Exactly.
There's more input that's come in. You got to change the output. And the Yankees are slow to do that. I mean, just look how long it took to get Jazz off of third base. We've been talking about this for 2 weeks now, at least 2 weeks, maybe even more, with some of those, not even errors, but just bad, like
head-scratching throws. Right.
And it's not even, it's hard to even blame him because he's not a third baseman.
Right.
He's a second baseman. And he did it so well last year, we just kind of assumed that, he's fine. He could be a third baseman for the rest of his career. But he's not.
He's not.
He's a second baseman. And he even said so as his frustrations, I don't want to say boiled over, but it certainly became evident when people were talking about how average or below average of a fielder he is. And he's like, dude, I'm a second baseman.
Jazz agreed with the fans. Jazz agreed with the reporters. And it took Jazz finally having to say something publicly for the Yankees to wake up. And ultimately, I'm sorry. I still think it comes down to him making the All-Star team as a second baseman. You can't have the manager play him in a
position. You're probably right.
It
makes sense.
The, manager cannot play him at second base and tell his own fan base, oh, yeah, we don't want to move him back and forth and go do it in an All-Star game. He'd get crushed. 888-808-1019. Chris in Ronkonkoma. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. I called you yesterday, and you chuckled at me by my last comment. And I just wanted to expound on it.
Okay. Remind me what it was, Chris. I honestly don't remember.
All right, Sean. The trade Giancarlo Stanton. Listen, he is the most tradable right now in his career. The Marlins pay $10 million a year the next 2 years.
But what do you mean? You mean because of the money he's tradable?
Yes, and to a team that thinks they're going to be in the playoffs in the National League. Right, Kiki?
Yeah, but
he is very valuable.
He is, but he's also one-dimensional. You're trading for purely a deal.
That's exactly right, Kiki, and that would help the Yankees. You get Giancarlo Stanton to a team, and I'm going to give you a trade offer. They trade with the Padres all the time, and the Padres always are looking for stars.
That's true.
You go trade for Jake Cronenworth. He's got $12 million a year for 5 years. He can play all over the field. They don't like him no more. You can look at him, and he's a lefty bat at Yankee Stadium, and I guarantee you they'll take the $39 million he's owed Giancarlo Stanton because they think they can go to the playoffs with him.
Chris, thanks.
Am I right, Sean?
Chris, in theory, you're right. Here's where I'm going to tell you you're wrong. That's a tough pill to swallow for the Yankees because here's the problem. Cronenworth is not putting and I think he's a good baseball player, plays all over. He's not putting any fear in October. Remember what you're building towards here. In protecting Aaron Judge and hard to pitch to. I find Giancarlo Stanton's makeup on this roster to be clogging some things. Clearly, the Yankees are more athletic with him there. But remember, the ultimate goal when you get through the 162 and get to the playoffs is navigating a lineup in these high-pressure games. And whether I've hated on Stanton or not in the past, the Yankees are dead in the water last October without Stanton.
They're
dead in the water without him protecting Aaron Judge in the playoffs this year.
Because he's a threat. When he plays a full season, which he probably never will again, a 30-home-run guy. Cronenworth is a 15-home-run guy. Hits 250. Right. It's basically the same average.
Right.
But he's hitting half as many home runs.
He's a better all-around baseball player.
But he can play in the field.
Right.
And that's maybe what you're gaining, especially with your desire or need, forget desire, it's not a want anymore. This is a need for a third baseman who is viable for you.
Yeah. It's just not sexy enough for me. Yankees gonna need to go sexy.
They're not gonna get the opportunity to get sexy.
I think I talked myself into the Jose Ramirez thing from whatever
call. Ramirez is one, but there's no way that they're doing business with the Yankees. No way at all. Think about that. There's no way. And I keep hearing Suarez, but there's going to be four teams that want Suarez.
But that's where they need to be all in on the Aaron Judge era and make that kind of move. There could be all these teams. That's where you give up Spencer Jones. That's where you do this now, because how many times are you going to be passing year after year and take that step below what you should be doing? That's what's infuriating. What are you shaking your head at with your dopey Met hat?
Because can we just give Dan a day off, the guy that, you know, writes things down for our show?
Why?
Because Sean just violated the King Aaron Judge thing. He just said Aaron Judge like 3 or 4 times.
Did I really?
Yes.
I didn't even remember mentioning him.
You just did.
For protection.
Yeah.
Yes.
More money in the kitty. What do you want me to tell you?
Do you want me to get you a little jar to put out in front of you there? King Aaron Judge fund?
Honestly, I saw my kids eat sand the other day. I'm not having a college fund anyway.
You spent it all on that, now that we're on SNY a little early, you spent it all on that t-shirt. You're just missing the pina colada and the straw hat.
This isn't a t-shirt.
Have you forgotten about Sarah Marshall yet with that shirt?
It's a button-up.
It is a button-up.
You look like you're at a midnight buffet at a cruise ship.
It's summertime.
He's shooting a shot, okay?
Yeah. I wore pineapples yesterday. I'm going pineapples today. We're going fruit week here on Evan and Tiki.
We're basically in a mausoleum here where there's no windows. We're not down the shore. We're not in Aruba.
You're right. There is no windows. There should be a window behind our backdrop. SMY is this beautiful backdrop, and they do a great job, but I love to look outside. I am a morale raiser, all right?
Philosophical differences.
On a beautiful summer day, when people walk through the halls and go, that guy gets it. That's a clubhouse leader.
I feel like summer, even though I'm inside.
Yeah, and you know what? There was a member of management today that did see me around the coffee machine. You know what he said to me?
What?
Quote, that's a good TV shirt. Mm. The architect told me.
Nice.
Now, I couldn't tell if he was lying to me, but I think he was telling the truth.
Yeah, he meant for Love Island, not for Sports Talk Radio.
What do you mean? And the color pink. I got the pink shorts to match, the pink face. I'm Peppa Pig with a pineapple shirt today.
All you need is the shrimp cocktail in front of you right now.
You know what's interesting is that you said that was a button down.
Uh-huh.
Tiki said it was a button up.
Oh, I never noticed that before. What is how
and
does that?
And I caught that immediately because that's what I'm listening to. So that's what I noticed.
It is a button up.
No. It's, well, at least where I'm from, it's button down.
It's a button down.
I've always
shirt.
Heard it button down.
Yeah, I've heard button down. You could, button. But you know what? Tiki knows more about fashion. We're probably wrong.
I don't know. That just was it came to my mind.
Button up.
Button up.
Because you're buttoned up. I've always called shirts a button down.
Well, technically, you button it from top down.
No, I actually go bottom up.
Do you really?
Yeah, I start with by near the, you know, getting
really?
Near the brush hole, and then I go upwards.
No,
yeah.
I go down.
No, I go up.
And if I run out of real estate,
that last
real estate.
Button, you need to make sure that it's that each side of the shirt is even, right? Mm.
No, you do it with the top.
No.
Yeah,
because you
yeah.
can't see the top. So the problem with doing it at the top. Is you can't always see that top button.
Because
so
you have like, that neck fat thing.
Like, no, you're
down.
Just looking. You're like, if it's too high, you can't see it. So you're just guessing it's the right one.
There goes Tiki.
And so sometimes it's the wrong one.
There goes Tiki.
Technically, you should do it in the middle just to make sure it falls right.
Really?
And yeah, because if you're going to wear your shirt open, you just button it in the middle. And then you go down. And then if you want to go up, then you go up.
You know how you could tell Tiki Barber has never had a gut in his life?
Never.
He signaled the start button in the middle. No, Tiki. Bro. You start at the top or the bottom because you got to find out that thing fits first.
You could eat Thanksgiving dinner off his stomach.
When you start buttoning, when you have like a little bit of a belly or in some cases a big belly, there's a moment of anticipation. You start feeling, this fits good. This fits good. This fits good. And then you start getting to those areas like, oh my God, this is still going to fit. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes, it fits. If you start in the middle, you could kill all morale right off the bat.
All right, I can't wear this.
Yeah, exactly. You want to give yourself hope, and that's why it's a button down.
Either way, that shirt you're wearing, Sean, it looks like you sell insurance, and it's Casual Friday, and you're walking around, and you're Employee of the Month. I mean, I'm not saying I hate the shirt. I'm just suggesting maybe it's because when you walk around here, most people have, you know, mustard stains, or they barfed on their shoes, and they bathe, you know, every 4 or 5 days. So I'm not used to it. So perhaps it is a compliment, and the architect agreed with that.
It should be a compliment. I think I look damn good.
Well done today, Sean.
Thank you. All right. Sorry we got derailed there. We're going to continue to take your calls on the Yankees, Jazz, the Mike Brown hire, and, of course, the Mets. The Mets lineup is out, by the way, real quickly. Nimmo is leading off, playing left. He probably is going to be the leadoff hitter no matter what right. side of the mound a pitcher's throwing now.
Who are they facing?
The Orioles and right-hander Brandon Young, who's 0-3 with a 7.02 ERA. Smells like runs. Nimmo, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Jesse Winker fits in at the DH behind Alonso today. Jeff McNeil in center, Terence catch, and Mauricio at third, Beatty at second. So no Mark Vientos. All right, and of course, with Clay Holmes on the mound today. All right, so more of your thoughts on the Yankees. Plus, Al Dukes had a question or a thought on what he could do to Tiki Barber in the hallways. Tiki has not heard this. I want to get his reaction as well.